From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Kate Carroll from the University of Michigan is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a new technique that may help improve the odds of success in treating cancer with antioxidants and prooxidants.
Dr. Kate Carroll is an assistant professor of chemistry at the University of Michigan. Her research group focuses on understanding the role that sulfur redox chemistry plays in physiological and pathological processes, and then using this knowledge to identify novel therapeutic targets for the treatment of human disease. Dr. Carroll, two strategies for treating cancer are to attack it with antioxidants, which inhibit free radicals that can make cancers grow, or with prooxidants, which increase oxidative stress on cancer cells to kill them. Why have studies using these approaches come up short?
I think the answer to that question is really several fold. I think first, research is at an early stage, especially with the prooxidant types of therapies. Those are reagents or small molecules to induce oxidative stress are in the early stages of development, and that has not haven't been a lot of trials, I guess, so to speak. And the second answer to that question really relates back to our paper, which is we believe that different patients have different so-called redox profiles. That is, sometimes cancer cells within a patient's body may be under oxidative stress or be at a particular redox state, and in those cases, those individuals may be more or less susceptible to the antioxidant or prooxidant therapy. So what I mean by that is in a trial where there's a number of different patients, let's say they all have different redox profiles, and not all of those redox profiles would be suitable for either the anti- or the prooxidant type strategy. So the goal with our current research was to try to develop new diagnostic methods that allow us to actually take a look and measure, quantify the particular redox profile that a patient has, such that we can then identify patients that might really benefit from antioxidant or prooxidant therapies.
Let's pick up on that point, because as you say, you and your colleagues have developed a method of monitoring oxidative stress in cancer cells that depends on detecting sulfenic acid in proteins. Tell us about the importance of sulfenic acid and how you used the sulfenic acid patient profile for treating cancer.
The importance of the sulfenic acid, I think the best way to think about it is that it's a marker. It's a marker that occurs on proteins, and it gives us a sense at a very early stage of what the level of oxidants or reactive oxygen species are in a cell. And so the reason why cancer cells, and in particular the sulfenic acid marker, why these two go hand in hand, is that when cancer cells are under oxidative stress, the reactive oxygen species, which is usually made, is hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide reacts with thiol residues on proteins, and that then generates this sulfenic acid marker. And so that gives us a very sensitive and, again, early mechanism to detect the kinds of oxidative stress that a particular cancer cell is experiencing.
Would you describe how you went about creating your sulfenic acid detection system?
We are a chemical biology laboratory. We took initially a chemical approach. The sulfenic acid modification, again, the protein marker that we're looking at, is very small, and it's oftentimes very reactive. And so what we needed to do was to come up with a strategy that allowed us to stabilize or modify the marker on the protein. And so we used a compound that's called commercially dimodone, which we can selectively react with the sulfenic acid marker. And this is just a fancy way of saying that the dimodone isn't going to react with anything else in the cell. It just makes the sulfenic acid marker bigger, larger. And so in the second phase of detection, now we use an antibody, and the antibody can now recognize the larger marker that we've made on the protein.
Would you discuss the kinds of experimental results you obtained from using the system, and how did you interpret these results?
Well, our initial goals were were fairly simple. The first question that we were asking is whether or not patients, in particular patients with breast cancer, had in fact different redox profiles. There really weren't any data to speak on this area prior to this. And so first we used our new detection abilities to ask, well, which patients do have an elevated level of oxidative stress in their cancer cells relative to their normal cells, to adjacent normal cells, and which don't? And that was the first question that we asked. Do we see differences in redox profiles? And in fact, we actually see that individuals have strikingly different profiles. Some individuals have cancer cells that are under high levels of oxidative stress relative to their normal cells, while others don't. And so clearly that gives us a toehold on determining or picking out which patients might be best suited for these types of redox modulating therapies. The second question that we asked, beyond just the levels of this particular protein marker of oxidative stress, was do we see different patterns in this marker depending on the cancer type? And so we looked at a variety of different cancers, and also specifically we looked at a number of different types of breast cancers. As it turns out, cancer isn't just homogeneous. It's they can oftentimes be very different types, or they have different phenotypes, if you will. They have different markers associated with them. They have different types of receptors that are overexpressed or underexpressed. The mechanism underlying the cancer is different, even though we call it all breast cancer. And so when we looked across a panel looking at different breast cancer cell lines, what we saw is, in fact, that the marker that we're looking for is, in fact, showing up in different patterns on proteins. And so what that allows us now to do is to determine now why those proteins, why different proteins in different types of cancer have this modification and how it affects the protein function.
Now, you worked on breast cancer. Are other types of cancer susceptible to sulfenic acid detection?
Absolutely. We believe this is going to be able to be widely applied. We already have evidence. Certainly, the paper also looked at did a small study on bladder cancer, but colon cancer, there's many different types of cancers that have been associated with changes in redox profile or oxidative stress. So we believe that this will be widely applicable.
What's the next stage of research that you have planned to move this work forward, and what's the ultimate goal of this research in terms of applying what you've learned in the study in a clinical setting?
There's two goals. The first is a fundamental research goal or basic science question, which is this marker on proteins, we believe, can tell us fundamentally about the mechanism that's underlying the cancer within the cell. Different growth factors or growth pathways get stimulated when oxidants are made. So if we can determine which proteins are being modified and determine their identity, then perhaps instead of using global pro or antioxidant therapies, we can actually target those individual proteins for therapeutic intervention. So again, from a fundamental standpoint, we would like to understand the role that these modifications play in the cell growth process. In terms of moving this to the bedside or to clinical care, what we would really hope for in this regard is to be able to utilize this new detection technology to be able to screen the redox profile of patients before they enter into trials that test either the pro or antioxidant therapies, thereby being able to better design these studies and to really evaluate the outcome of these types of redox modulating anti-cancer therapeutics. And in terms of moving forward, again, from the fundamental or basic science standpoint, we would really like to know and determine the identity of the proteins which are modified in this way, again, because that tells us in some way how the cancer is growing and also may give hints as to how to target those proteins individually for sort of tailored anti-cancer therapies.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.